The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
There's a reason that we live so far from Hollywood, in the country looking hard to find a home, with nothing perfect or considered.
Bonjour, hi Canada. Good morning, everybody, on this Tuesday, the 30th of June, in the year of the plague, 2020. The big news yesterday, and this is the rundown of what you need to know, was that the Supreme Court made two rulings, one on the Louisiana abortion law and one on the Consumer Watchdog Group. So conservatives think it was one and one. It was really 0-1-1, meaning the Louisiana case can be read in two different ways. And a lot of conservative critics of John Roberts, who've hated him since the Obamacare decision, which was a brilliant decision, chose yesterday to renew their John Roberts is David Souter nonsense, even on the same day that he struck down the structure of the consumer agency as being unconstitutional. No, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB, I always trouble remembering that. The Chief Justice, in not striking down the Louisiana law, reminded people that the controlling case law on abortion in the United States is Casey. Not Roe, it's Casey. Some people say Roe v. Wade, but it's not Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade was gutted long ago and replaced by Casey. Casey controls. 5 years ago, the same law that was upheld yesterday was considered by a different Supreme Court, and they upheld the law. They struck down the Texas law limiting the ability of doctors to perform abortions if they did not have the right to visit a hospital nearby. Same law, 5 years later, different court. Chief Justice, who voted to uphold the Texas law 5 years ago when the court struck it down, got the same law from Louisiana yesterday and voted to uphold it as the court and voted to strike it down as the court did. So he changed his position. And the reason he changed his position, the Texas law was unconstitutional. Yeah, guys, it's hard to do. This is why teaching con law is hard to do. The Texas law was, in John Roberts' opinion 5 years ago, unconstitutional. The Louisiana law, in John Roberts' view today, is constitutional. He explains his changed vote by virtue of the application of the doctrine of stare decisis, which is law should be settled. Now, he has an opinion in the famous Citizens United case on when you flip cases, when you jettison old precedents. I thought under that he might jettison this, but clearly it's not a big enough deal. Now, I know the pro-life people out there will say it's a big deal, every life counts. I understand that. But in constitutional terms, Roberts, in his concurring opinion, which controls, the four liberals don't matter. They can write 1,000 pages, it doesn't matter. What matters is what Roberts wrote. And what he wrote was, quote, neither party has asked us to reassess the constitutional validity of the Casey standard. I added the word Casey, but that's what he implied. So that the whole case comes down to this. The Chief Justice wrote in his concurring opinion, neither party has asked us to reassess the constitutional validity of the Casey standard. Somebody needs to ask the court to overrule Casey. A case must reach the court does not reach out and grab doctrine. It does not overrule that which has not been argued. It requires a record before it that Casey should be overruled. I believe there are five clear votes to do that now. I think that the Chief Justice is begging someone, some state legislature that is pro-life, to challenge Casey. Just challenge Casey. Ban abortion. And say we are doing so on the basis of Casey not being appropriate. Or ban abortion, say viability is now defined at 3 weeks. Do anything radical, pass it as a test case, and send it up to the court. While these five justices are there. But, Roberts said yesterday, don't send me a case that was decided under Casey 5 years ago without asking me to reverse Casey, because I'm not going to take a single. If we're going to rewrite this, we're going to rewrite it. That's the best interpretation. I know it doesn't, conservatives don't like it. Don't complain to me about Roberts until the end of the week. Then I might complain with you. Our Lady of Guadalupe is coming. That's the most important case of the term. It's the free exercise case that tells religious organizations that they can hire who they want based on doctrine. It means, for example, a Catholic high school does not need to keep employed one of its faculty that divorces and remarries without permission of the church, without an annulment. That's what Our Lady of Guadalupe means. It means freedom for all churches, all faiths, to practice their religion, to exercise their religious rights. It's a big case. I think it's coming down Thursday. A couple of other big cases coming down Thursday, including Little Sisters of the Poor, including the Montana Little Blaine Amendment. I'll give you my assessment. I got asked yesterday by the Post to write an assessment of this case, and I said, I'm not going to. I'm going to wait to the end of the week. I know people are upset with Roberts, but you got to see the whole picture before you decide how the term went. I was very pleased with the decision that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau cannot have immunity from control by the president. There is one executive branch. There's a strong majority for that proposition. Elizabeth Warren put on a happy face and said, don't worry, it's still there. Yeah, there's an agency still there, but the president who wins, controls it. Re-elect Donald Trump, it won't be a problem. Put Joe Biden in, they'll bring business to a halt. That is the choice, by the way. Elect Donald Trump and the economy will recover. Elect his opponent, Joe Biden, and it will not. So what else happened yesterday? The biggest story internationally is what China's national security law means. Reading from the Wall Street Journal, China's legislature approved Tuesday a sweeping new law aimed at quashing threats to national security in Hong Kong, rejecting Western criticism that Beijing's effort will curb people's freedom. The legislation was passed by senior Chinese lawmakers, and it's going to have an enormous impact on freedom in Hong Kong. If you've got a business there, get out. If you've got a bank there, get out. It might take you a year, might take you 2 years, get out. Let me talk about some good news on the virus front. I personally believe the media is attempting to overplay the second outbreak in an effort to hurt Donald Trump. The numbers bear me up. Remember, at the height of the pandemic in May, America suffered 2,700 deaths. Yesterday, there were 338 deaths. On Sunday, there were 250. On Friday, there were 506. On Thursday, there were 599. On Wednesday, there were 644. What do you see? The number of deaths are declining in the United States, even as the number of cases skyrocket. Why is that? Doctors are better equipped at treating it. Younger people are getting it. So the reopening has slowed down, but it hasn't stopped. And the variant that we have, there's a story on which variant we have, is the one that's gotten more contagious. So the virus is even more contagious than it was 3 months ago, but it's killing fewer people, even as far more people get infected. Why? Because they're younger, stronger, less fragile, better treatment. Meanwhile, China has fast-tracked the coronavirus vaccine based on advanced genetic technology. Its military is using it. I don't know if it's going to work. If it works, we don't know if they'll give it to us. But that is very good news for the world. They also have three other candidates ready to begin trials. In Scotland, there is a T-cell coronavirus therapy, not a vaccine, that has been approved that is very innovative. They believe it's going to be very successful for coronavirus patients. And the Financial Times tells us about a coronavirus pill developed by a tiny biotech company. It's a long shot, EIDD-2801. But if it works, it's, again, a home run. What does all that mean? That means we've got a lot more cases with a lot more therapies and a lot fewer deaths. Don't understand, I'll do the story about the Russian bounty after the break. The news media only cares about one thing, defeating Donald Trump. So you've got to open your lens to a great deal more. By the way, the political analysis yesterday is Donald Trump's re-election got easier because the Supreme Court did not indicate to the masses that they're about to overturn Casey. So that's what I think they're about to do. Stay tuned, America. Welcome back, America. Good morning to you. Time for the business story of the morning. Brought to you by AndrewandTodd.com. Andrew Del Rey, Todd Avakian. Together they are AndrewandTodd.com. They are with Sierra Pacific Mortgage, but they have their own office within Sierra Pacific. They have their own team. They have trained them themselves. If you go to AndrewandTodd.com or call 888-888-1172, they'll take care of your lending needs. The 10-year Treasury this morning is at 0.64%. That's really remarkable, 0.64%. And so if you have any desire whatsoever to borrow money against your house, you do it now when these interest rates are so low. If you want to refinance your house and lower the number of years you have left to pay it off from 30 to 20 or 20 to 15, now is the time to do it. If you want to buy a second home, if you want to get equity out, you want to do a reverse mortgage, you're a senior, you're 862 and you want more money, you go to AndrewandTodd.com. If you're looking on my screen, you should see a little bug for it. You'll see Andrew Del Rey's smiling face. 888-888-1172, AndrewandTodd.com. Now, what happened yesterday is that the Dow went up a lot. 580 points yesterday. The NASDAQ went up 116. The S&P went up 44. Why did that happen? That happened because Boeing's 737 MAX took off on its first certification flight. Now, this is a short trading week. We're not going to be trading on Friday because it's the July 3rd holiday for July 4th. But the 737 is vital to America's aeronautical future. And it got a big green light yesterday taking out their fix. It's fixed. So the Dow went up 580 points. Boeing went up 14%. This, by the way, on a day that Amazon didn't have a great day. It went down $12. The second big story of the day, business stories on Amazon. But the Dow and NASDAQ, everybody had a great day, despite the fact that the tech leader Amazon went down a little bit. That tells you how strong it is. Enormously strong. There's a second part to that story, though. The big news yesterday was home sales. An enormous resurgence in housing occurred in May. A stronger than expected 44.3% jump in pending home sales in May. That means almost half again as many people wanted to buy a home in May as did in April. Why is that? Hugh Hewitt doing mass psychology right here. People now know COVID is a danger to old people, to people who are 70 and 75 and 80. The older you get, the more dangerous it is. And young people or middle-aged people, or people who want their second or third homes, people who are moving up or moving in, they went out and they started just grabbing everything for sale, taking all the inventory off the market. That's why AndrewandTodd.com are as busy as they have ever been. That's why I think you ought to go online to get started at AndrewandTodd.com and tell people, you know, tell them what you need, what you're looking for. If you're going to buy a home, get pre-qualified, get a pre-qualified letter. New home purchases pending in May, pending home sales up 44.3%. That's extraordinary. That's the V-shaped recovery that Democrats are worried about. That's what's going to get Donald Trump reelected, is the economy that he has cleared away regulatory hurdles to recovery, which President Obama and Joe Biden put in place in their 8 years. We do not want that back. We want the Trump economy back, the one that the Chinese blew up when they allowed the virus to escape from Wuhan. That is not, by the way, saying that they did a bioweapon. It's just saying they were recklessly negligent, scurrilously conspiratorial about it. And it's crippled the world economy. But that new home sale, that's the best number I have seen in months. New pending home sales jumped 44%. Have you heard that story anywhere else? No, because the bad news, people are trying to destroy Trump. When I come back, we're going to talk about Russians. I got Admiral Stavridis coming up as well. The absurdity of that story yesterday, it wasn't in the president's briefing because the CIA briefer did not believe it. The CIA doesn't believe it. They don't have confidence in it. And the New York Times is doing what the New York Times always tries to do, wreck Donald Trump. Stay tuned. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Can you imagine that slice of time? Rock and roll was young people's student line. To hear music that played into their lives, that you could carry till the day you die.
If someone you know is always wrong, I mean literally always wrong, how long do you trust them for? Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. If you've got a brother-in-law and you see him at Thanksgiving or Christmas or summertime vacation every year and he gives you a stock tip every year and he's always wrong, the stock always goes down, do you invest on the basis of that stock tip? If you've got a good friend, I mean, just someone you really like, all right, who always tells you which car to buy, and they regularly tell you to buy the absolute worst car possible, and it breaks down, it's a junker. Do you keep taking advice from them? If you've got a computer specialist who says, I'll be over to fix your computer, and they never fix it, do you keep going back to them? I raised this question of serial error, of the inability to get something right, of repeated misinformation, of just being terrible at their job or whatever it is they believe in, because that's the New York Times when it comes to stories out of the intelligence community. Now, I didn't talk about it much yesterday because I have my suspicions about the New York Times. Whenever I see Eric Schmidt's byline on a story, I say, okay, this is wrong. He's never right. He may have been right once about the color of the sky or whether the sun comes up in the east and sets in the west, something like that. But he's never right. He always falls for it. Now, the intelligence community is vast, and it's full of never Trump people with TDS. By the way, I know I just had another exposure to TDS, like gamma 5 strength TDS, from someone I don't know, sent me a TDS letter. We have a friend in common, and I got this kind of crazy letter from them about my Meet the Press appearance. Because I said, well, you know, the president should be reelected because I like his two Supreme Court justices, his 53 appeals court justices, his 143 district court justices. I like his military rebuild. I like the deregulation. I think he should be reelected. He's done a good job, and he'll rebuild the economy. Oh, my gosh, I triggered this poor person, so I got this screed. Well, there are people like that in the intelligence community, and they like to cherry-pick whatever they can to make the president appear incompetent or ill-informed about matters of national security. So the New York Times is the destination of choice for disgruntled intelligence community people, Eric Schmidt and his gang. And so they fed them a story that the president had been briefed and did not care that the Russians were killing Americans. Now, this was rich. This is really rich because of two things. Soleimani was behind the murder of 600-plus Americans, Marines and soldiers, during his reign of terror in Iran and his feeding of Iranian Revolutionary Guard technology, troops, and training to militias inside of Iraq who attacked American troops for two presidencies prior to Donald Trump. Neither President Bush nor President Obama, and they each had 8 years to do it in, took out Soleimani. Donald Trump took him out. The guy who was killing Americans, Donald Trump had him killed. Gave the order, sat in the sit room or wherever he was. I don't know if he was Mar-a-Lago or wherever he was when that happened. I can't recall. He gave the order. He took him out. The guy who killed Americans got killed. Al-Baghdadi, who threatened to kill Americans, got killed by Donald Trump. 300 Russians came over the hill in Syria and attacked American troops, I believe it was early 2018. I will check and I'll review that with Admiral Stavridis later in the show. Guess how many went back down the hill? Zero. 300 Russians got killed when they attacked Americans. Are there people in Russia who hate America? You bet. They had brothers. They had fathers. They had sons. They were Russian paramilitary. They were there with the approval of Putin, and they probed, and they got blown up. You do not mess with our troops, and our American Air Force came to their support. I don't know if it was a spooky. I don't know what got them, but they just got all wiped out. We did not hesitate. Donald Trump does not hesitate to protect American troops. And the Iranians know that. If they hit one of our boats, they're just toast. They blew up our people. We killed Soleimani. That was round two. Then they lobbed a few ballistic missiles at an empty base after giving us warning because they didn't want round three, and they stopped. They're afraid of Donald Trump. So along comes this story, Russian bounty. And the intelligence community assesses it, and the senior intelligence people say, we don't think we can trust this. And I spent all day yesterday figuring this out, talked to everyone, talked to members of the media who were trying to figure it out too. And did the president really ignore this? And the fact of the matter is, he was not briefed on it because nobody in the senior level trusted the information. If you read it, it's based upon the discovery of cash in a Taliban headquarters and on one captured Taliban report that the Russians had put bounties on American soldiers. Now, that, of course, feeds in to the long-standing Trump-Russia nonsense, you know, the Trump asset that Bob Mueller spent 2 years finding out was absolutely nonsense, completely made up, the Steele dossier. And we will see more about that whole thing when John Durham indicts or doesn't indict. But the intelligence community believed that crap. The FBI believed that crap. Now they believe this crap, and they're trying to get you interested in a story that doesn't exist. Because they hate, hate, hate Donald Trump. Will somebody open up the phones, Ben? 1-800-501-234. I don't think there is anybody in America who cares about this story. Anyone. Because nobody believes it. And if they ever come to believe it, they know Donald Trump will order the people who ordered Americans killed, killed. That's what he'll do. He did not hesitate to pull the trigger on Soleimani. All right, that's the number one. President Trump today stands accused of not protecting American troops, even though he had Soleimani killed, which scared everybody. As if there's one thing the Trump doctrine is, if you kill an American, I will kill you. That's the Trump doctrine. It's pretty basic. So there are a couple of reasons why this might have been leaked, I was told. Some people want us out of Afghanistan. I don't want us to leave Afghanistan, and Trump wants to go. They're trying to create the conditions of chaos there where we have to revenge ourselves. I don't know. It's kind of a crazy theory, but I heard it yesterday. The other is just to throw more dust in the air, more Trump Russia, Trump Russia, Trump Russia, to confuse the Steeler fans out there. Bottom line, the Trump doctrine is very simple. If you kill an American, Trump will try and have you killed. Ed, in Las Vegas. Good morning, Ed.
Yes, we lost 1,750 troops due to hostile action and terrorism under Obama, Biden. I think so far under Trump, we've maybe lost about 50, and certainly one troop's one too many. But I mean, look at the casualty count under Obama, Biden. I mean,
this is the dumbest story in the world. Trump doesn't care about bounty. He wasn't briefed on it. There is no substantiation for it. And they don't want people to realize what the Trump doctrine is, which you just articulated, Ed. Thank you, my friend. John in Delaware, what do you think, John?
Hugh Hewitt, good morning. I think it's another sham. The news media is out to get Donald Trump. Everybody knows it. You can only cry wolf about 1,000 times before we stop believing you, Hugh.
Well, it is actually Trump porn. It's just Trump porn for the TDS afflicted. If they
That's
can read
it
any,
it,
all it is, it's a condition that is, I don't know if it's treatable. I don't know
It'll
if these people are.
It'll be written in history one day, Hugh. It'll be written in the history books, and it'll actually be an actual diagnosis, psychological disorder, Trump derangement syndrome. I said it. You'll see it in the future. It'll be history, sir.
All right. Thank you, John. I don't know if the psychiatrists are pretty anti-Trump, so I don't know. Ray in Georgia. Good morning, Ray.
Hey, how you doing, Hugh?
I'm great. You out there working for David Perdue's reelection?
Yes, sir.
All right, just checking.
Yeah, I just think that the Russian government don't care about an American soldier or two. I don't really believe this bounty thing. If anything, they'd want to go after an aircraft carrier or a battleship group or something, you know?
You know, I could understand where some colonel who lost his brother in that paramilitary wipeout, I believe it's January 2018, I'll look during the break, I could understand someone believing that and, you know, trying to send some money to Taliban, but it just begs the imagination. It does not make any sense, and the president wasn't briefed on it. It's another lie by the New York Times. They fell for it again. Lucy in the football.
Liberal media.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Not just liberal media, but especially the New York Times. Remember, this is the same newspaper that wrongly printed Iran had abandoned its nuclear program. Just remember that. They're always wrong. The New York Times is always wrong about everything in the national security area. Everything. They're never right. Hey, thank you, Ray.
I still hope to find the person that leaked this.
Oh, that Ratcliffe, the director of national intelligence, reminded everyone it's a crime. But I'm more concerned that Durham get his work done. I want to know about the attempt to take out the president. There was a coup attempt in January and December when he became president. It was a quiet coup. Didn't use guns. It used lawyers and leaks and unmasking. I want the details on that. Coming right back with Drucker, we'll talk about this non-story story. Don't go anywhere. We're going to do a show.
I think a lot of people are trying to understand what his view of memorializing the Confederacy is and the proper place of the Confederate flag. So a couple questions. One, does President Trump believe that it was a good thing that the South lost the Civil War? And then two,
welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. That was Ryan Lizza. Used to be a regular guest on my show when he was with The New Yorker. I'm joined by David Drucker now. David, Ryan is a friend of mine, probably a friend of yours. I think that was a moronic question. What do you think of that question?
Well, it's not a question I would have asked. Now, I didn't hear the rest of the questions that he asked, and it'll be interesting to see what story he produces, because occasionally I'll ask a very simple question just to see what kind of answer I get. But it is an interesting question that I don't think I would have asked.
You're being diplomatic. It's a moronic question.
I'm being diplomatic. I'm being diplomatic in part because that's my role.
But do you think it reflects on the industry? I mean, does it reflect on you and me?
I have said, and I think we've talked about it on the show, Hugh, that some of the questions that have been asked over the course of the pandemic and everything else, maybe there's going to be a point to it once I see the finished work, so I reserve a little bit of judgment. But, you know, they're not questions I necessarily would have asked. And you know, I do try to be mindful when I ask questions, whether they're tough, whether they sound simple. I try to make sure there's a point to them and that the subject of the question understands what I'm trying to do with the question. So it'll see what he comes up. We'll see what he comes up with. But I wouldn't have asked the question.
All right. Now I want to turn to the New York Times story. I spent a lot of yesterday afternoon and evening on this, and it is my conclusion based upon the best sources that anyone has in town that the president was not briefed on the allegation of the Russian bounty because senior intelligence officials inside and outside of the White House who were aware of it deemed it unworthy and his briefer did not brief him on it. That's the bottom line. It's a non-story story, and it's the New York Times again doing the Lucy and the football thing on Charlie Brown. The disgruntled IC people hold the football, and the New York Times tries to kick it every time and they miss every time. David, what do you think is the story after 2 days of chasing their tail?
Well, here's the thing, Hugh. I don't actually know what the story is yet because I have read some conflicting reports. I've also read nuanced reports. Tom Rogan of The Examiner, who's a colleague of mine, who does some really great work on reporting on the intel community and national security, has a really nuanced piece about what might have happened and how this might have all unfolded. And one of the things I've learned on all of this is not to get too far ahead of myself as I try and analyze it. What I like to try and do is take a look at the politics of all of this, because that's something I can do and I can do it reasonably well. And again, whether the story were to pan out completely or totally not pan out, it's one of those that it's going to have people in their political corners. Voters are going to look at this. They're not going to be sure what to believe, but they're going to say to themselves that either I like the president and this isn't going to change my mind, or I don't like the president and I didn't need this story to make me not like the president.
I agree.
We're all back at square one.
Agree. And I just think they keep trying to bleed him and to throw Russia Trump into the air to keep the Russia Trump people alive, but it's not the 10% that are going to decide this election. I think it's 45-45 right now. And the 10%, I think, David, are going to decide it on the economy. If you look at the economy today, new home purchases went up 44% month over month in May. Now, May is traditionally a very good month on purchases, but people don't buy a home unless they have great confidence in their life. They don't do that. What does that tell you, David Drucker?
Well, it tells me that in May, people were confident that the economy was headed in the right direction. But, you know, now we're on the cusp of July. We've seen a significant uptick in infections of the virus across many of the states that were at the forefront of reopening. And regardless of the reason for this, and I think the protests had something to do with it, young people packing into bars seems like they had something to do with it. Let's see how people feel about the economy at the end of July if this sort of thing continues. And I do think that handling of the pandemic and all of the instability that people are dealing with in the United States, and we could talk about schools, whether they reopen or not, I think all of this is going to weigh on voters when they vote. But you tell me what they're going to be thinking about as they vote in the fall, because as I've said before, in February we were talking about impeachment, in March the pandemic, in April a recession. By the end of May, it was civil unrest and a discussion about race in America. And so you tell me what the 24-second clock is going to look like.
David, that is so well put. That's exactly it. And if they're talking about how the economy is reopening and flourishing, Trump wins. And if they're talking about how the economy is going down, Trump loses. I mean, this is not hard, but I think it's a 24-second clock. That's brilliant. David M. Drucker on Twitter. I think I'm going to steal that, David. You tell me what's on the 24th. You tell me that in September, and I'll tell you what the election is going to be. Don't go anywhere, America. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show.